Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today, Valerie. You have your own podcast, and I am so excited to learn about you. And you go by DJ Valerie V Love. And I love to hear about how you think music can affect you. And I want to know also about your Bitcoin journey and how any of these topics or interests are connected. One thing you've shared is you had a point that snapped for you. So I kind of want to start off with that, but let's kind of before that sort of get to know who you are. I want to hear a little bit about you.
Okay, cool. Thanks. And thanks so much, Stacey, for having me on your show. I'm so excited for you. And I know when you said you were like, should I start a show or not? I'm like, hell yeah, girl, go. We need more Bitcoiners out there. We need more voices. We need more everything.
You've been such a great supporter. You're always like commenting on X. You're hyping me up. You don't realize that what you do gives people energy. Like you make them feel like you want them to keep going and they want to keep going for you. Supporting each other is so important. It's all because we want to share not only other incredible Bitcoiners, but just your stories and your perspectives. So thank you for seeing the value in that and actually encouraging it. So thank
you. Yeah, heck yeah. I know. And anybody out there listening, like there's, and again, until we have like unity and love and Bitcoin and everything that's ubiquitous everywhere, like we need more voices. We need more people, you know, being courageous and stumbling and using our God-given gifts, you know, to get the messages out there. And so I think a lot of people forget, it's like, you know, each target audience that we are, you know, blessed to serve may not resonate with certain other voices. So it's really important that like, if you've got a fire in your heart or something that you feel like called to, like, go do it. Like, you don't need to ask permission, just start. And, you know, you've got people out there that want to see it happen. And so I'm so excited for what you're doing. And I love seeing how you're bringing all the community together and the women together and just like, you're a rock star. So way
to
go.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. That really means a lot.
Anybody who's listening to this, like, it's just, you can just do things. You know, you keep seeing all those memes like you can just blah, you know, it's like you can just start putting messages out there and there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's, you know, it's just go do it. Just start. And so I think that's so cool. And that kind of, you know, that's what I did, you know, like 3.5 years ago. I started Bitcoin Peace and Music as a podcast, and Camilla Compton from, she was working at Swan at the time. Somebody introduced me to her and I was like, you know, still new to Bitcoin, but I was just really interested in like, I love podcasting. I had had another podcast about personal growth. And so obviously that's a huge component of mine and obviously music. And I was just like, well, who am I to start a podcast? You know, like I'm not an expert. I'm not Saifedean. I'm not, you know, whatever. And it's like, you get to learn from your questions on the podcast. You don't have to be the subject matter expert. You can bring on the subject matter experts and you can ask them questions. And so she was just like, just do it, Val. Stop hesitating, you know? So God bless her. And I'm so glad she just posted again today. She hasn't posted in a while because she's been busy with her new son. But congrats, Camila, and your baby. And I always love to give credit to people who like pushed me over the edge and said, get out of the nest and do it, you know, because they're the ones who are just so special, you know, and we all are like this wind beneath our wings.
Yeah, it's true. Because sometimes I've been mentioning that you don't think about yourself sometimes the way that other people think of you. You think the things that you're doing and you think the personality that you have and the, you know, the charisma that people might have, you don't always see how much other people see it. So when they notice it in you and they, you know, encourage you and yes, the wind beneath your wings, just they do help you take flight. You know, it's if it wasn't sometimes for some of these people reaching out and giving you that encouragement or strength, you probably maybe wouldn't have done these things. So you're always thankful for the people that supported you. And that's what you need in your life. You need people in your life who lift you up.
It's true. And I know like Tony Robbins and all these, you know, personal growth people say, you know, you're the sum total of the five people you hang out with the most, you know? So if you're hanging out with people who are like better than you, who want to lift you up and pull you forward on your mission and your journey, like that's going to reflect in how you operate, you know? But if you're hanging out with people who are you know, constantly putting you down or doubting you or just, you know, it's like that impacts you. It impacts your vibration. It impacts how you operate. It impacts your self-talk. It impacts your behavior. And so surrounding yourself with like-minded, like-hearted people and people who are, you know, on a mission to go in a certain direction, which is up and to the right, you know, it's like, that is one of the most important things you can do, you know? And so our relationships are so critical. And I think as we mature, you know, especially if we've gone through trauma, if we've, you know, snapped or all these things, you know, we can get into that in a little bit. You know, if we go through life as people pleasers, we surround ourselves with people who we're just trying to like keep the fires out and make sure that they're okay instead of like having a reciprocal symbiotic relationship with them, you know? And a lot of times if we've come up from a traumatized childhood, we have a tendency to gravitate towards codependent behaviors, codependent relationships, and we're trying to recreate something from our childhood so that we think we can fix something subconsciously. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh no, why am I in this relationship? Why am I in this marriage? Why am I in this business? Why am I in this partnership? You know? And so a lot of times the subconscious is driving, I mean, all the time, the subconscious is driving the bus, you know, and we don't realize that until we have something big and you're like, oh gosh, I have to start looking at my life and get to know myself. And what are my drivers and what is, you know, making me do the things that I do and think the things that I think, et cetera.
Yeah, I agree with that. You sometimes going through things that you go through in life, whether you think it's a traumatic experience or something eye-opening, anything that's going on in the world, certain things do open you up and actually get you to stop going with the flow and just following traffic kind of thing. Like you're just, you know, sometimes you're driving and you don't know how you got to where you're going.
Right, you're like, oh wow, I'm here. Yeah, you're on autopilot. Yeah.
Yes. So you're just going through life on autopilot, but then when something like shakes you and wakes you up, you actually start to change things. Change is scary for people, but it shouldn't always be scary. But one thing that I want to mention too about what you said about me and how I love to support you and other women, especially in the Bitcoin space, what I love about that is I think that people that see women talking to other women, excited for other women,
yeah,
it's so different from, it's refreshing because a lot of times, you know, you hate to say this, but in the real world, it almost seems like there's so much jealousy between women, especially, you know, men are a lot more laid back. They don't care. They're not trying to compete. And in this space, we love each other. Like we are actually like, you're my best friend. You understand Bitcoin. You understand the problems of the world. We're so happy to find actual friends that have the same beliefs and the same passions. So it's refreshing for men or women to see this, you know, to see that women actually care about other women and we're not catty or jealous, you know?
Yeah, cutthroating each other. I know. And yeah. I think the reality is like men and men compete with each other in a certain way and women do as well. Right. And so that's what I think is so interesting about Bitcoin too. So we're all, again, we're all on the mission. We're focused up and to the right and not, I say that up and to the right, not just, you know, number go up, but it's like love go up, freedom go up, peace go up, unity go up, ration go up. And so it's the most interesting, I have goosebumps, like so many people I know, you know, because I've been on a spiritual path my whole life and, you know, my whole life since I was 19. So whatever, almost 40 years, a long time, so 36 years. Or is that many? Oh God, I'm so old.
That's how I feel when I think about how long I've been working and everything. I'm like, wait, how long
are you? How old am I? I know. But like, I've always been on the spiritual path. I'm a businesswoman, you know, and a creative and artist, et cetera. And so I've been putting together this program called the 11X Love Code. And it's a holistic program for personal growth and really designing your code and your life map, you know, and how are you going to live? How are you going to make decisions? What are your values? So I call it like getting your MeHD. And it's really about learning about who you are, why you're here, and how to get to where you want to go. You know, so Bitcoin came into my life and it was this like, wow, money isn't, you know, and it's one of the 11 areas. It's like money isn't this evil thing. It's like the right money, sound money is a good thing for all of us. It's simply energy. But when it's like this deformed version of itself called fiat, where this little centralized group of people can just put a zero on a digital balance sheet and completely rip your purchasing power out of your hands without you even knowing it or voting for it. I was like, well, that seems like theft. That seems like violence. That seems like not good. And so I'd always had this, you know, dissonance with money and spirituality, you know, even though I know we all have to have money. And then when Bitcoin showed up, I was like, wow, this finite thing, it's rules, not rulers, et cetera, you know, all the things that Bitcoin represents. I was like, wow, this fits into my spiritual program, you know? And I know a lot of people had, you know, been in finance and just traditional world, and then all of a sudden they became spiritual because of Bitcoin. And so I think it's such an interesting conversation. You know, my buddy Tomer, we talk a lot, and, you know, a lot of other people, we have conversations and spaces about like, which came first, the money or the spirituality or Bitcoin or this. And it's kind of like, who knows? Cause I came from here and that's my little area and they came from here. And so it's just kind of this like interesting way that we are all getting whole through Bitcoin. We're becoming holistic individuals. And we're becoming a part of this holistic network called the Bitcoin network, called humanity, called the, you know, the life field, you know? And so it's like the fact that Bitcoin is math, that's all it is. It's just straight up some math. And the fact that math is bringing our hearts and our souls and our minds and each other together in friendship and mission and in purpose, it's like, math can do that, huh? Like, I don't need to light incense or sage or go to a church or do any, I can just look at math and it's all of a sudden bringing us together, you know? And I speak about this a lot on the show and, you know, just with different folks, but I'm like, you know, wherever Satoshi is or whoever Satoshi is, imagine if Satoshi could see what's happening right now. I don't think Satoshi is on Earth right now. I have my ideas, but if Satoshi's watching, did you know, Satoshi, that you brought Stacy and I together so that we could be soul sisters and that all of our communities together so that we can go change the world and get people out of financial slavery and help children get out of child trafficking and help people get out of domestic violence and help people get out of authoritarian regimes, help people get out of the inflationary slave system that we are in? Thank you, Satoshi. I hope you know what you did. And what is still just blossoming. It's just like this little one petal is coming up of the flower. Like, it's just so early, you know? And I'm like, yes, Satoshi, thank you.
Yeah, because it's not just thank God for Bitcoin, it's thank God for Satoshi and everyone that led up to its creation. But you wonder, does he, because early on you think, yes, he knew he had to stay anonymous because he knew this thing could transform the world. But did he envision that he would bring people together in this kind of way?
Exactly. I know, goosebumps, right? Yeah. And you just like, you know, we speak about this a lot. I just had my girlfriend here for the week. She's a Bitcoiner. You know, we've only met a couple times in person, but I went to Miami because she was one of the, you know, she was doing one of the Miami meetups there. And I was like, I got to meet, you know, people. And of course I'm like, my house is your house. Come stay with me, you know? And of course we all agree like Bitcoin is hope. It gives us hope. I can't imagine what's going to happen up here in this little crazy mind of mine if I didn't have that hope from Bitcoin. I would be crazy in this world. And so I think for, I don't know about you, Stacy, but like when I see people who are, you know, quote unquote normies who don't get it, like I want to help them get it so that they feel a sense of ease and comfort and, you know, stability in their nervous system, because there is this thing called Bitcoin, which gives us hope. And right now there's not a lot of hope, you know, and people are going crazy. There's violence. There's people on the left who are doing crazy violent things. And I used to be a Democrat. I'm an independent now, but it's like, what are you doing? Like, you don't need to go hurt people or blow things up. And it's like, let's come to the table and have conversations. But because people are so filled with fear and cortisol and adrenaline and all the things that make them like feel super anxious, they're not behaving in the way that they typically would if their nervous systems were calm and if they felt a sense of ease and hope and safety, you know, and they don't feel safe. And I think Bitcoin, for me personally, I don't know about you, but it gives me a sense of safety for the future for myself and my children.
Yeah, it makes you realize that once you find out about that, and once you have hope, and I've said this before in other podcasts, but I like to kind of re-mention it again, but that's why the sense of the feeling that Bitcoin gives you is why my name is what it is on X.
Because ecstasy, yay!
Yeah. And a lot of people think that it's, and I've never done it, you know, so I'm not like somebody, like I've done some microdosing. I've never actually done a full mushroom situation, but I've done some microdosing, but I've never actually done that. But what I would imagine that drug would feel like is the feeling of hope. You know, the feeling of hope is very euphoric or whatever. And I think that that's why we share what we do. We want to share with people when we do see them stressed out, or anytime the topic comes up about, you know, wars or inflation or anything like that, you're always like, well, because this is the system you guys are thinking you're going to try to be able to get out of, but you can't beat it when you're still in the system. So we try to share what we know because we want people to feel that same sense of peace. It's true.
And well, and it's like, you know, so ecstasy, I've done a whole bunch. I'm a DJ. I've done basically everything. But it's a heart opener, you know, it creates that oxytocin flood, and you get serotonin and oxytocin going on. And oxytocin is the connection thing, like with a mother and a child, right? Or if you're with a lover. And so ecstasy creates that sense of open-heartedness. It creates a sense of, oh my God, I can actually love myself and not hate myself. Oh my gosh, I see the light in you and it's reflected back in me. And it's so beautiful. And for somebody who like was a self-abuser for a long time, you know, when I got to do ecstasy for the first time when I was 28, it was just like, I'm allowed to love myself and accept myself and not beat myself up 24/7, you know, mentally and just with everything. And so it was just such a paradigm shift. And I think for me too, with Bitcoin, it's such a paradigm shift because it makes you think like the connection, and that's us. Bitcoin is a network. You know, it's not just a network of nodes that have, you know, ASICs and chips and all the things that are going with the all that stuff. It's like, we're the nodes too, you know, our hearts are the nodes. And so the more people that we can keep adding to this love network, it's like, it creates more resilience and more strength. And so that's what I think. You know, people would just, you know, they always have those funny memes with a guy who looks like he's crazy and trying to explain Bitcoin, you know what I mean? You're just like, oh, that's me.
That's and, me, you know, too, yeah.
Totally, like, right? But it's just like, we have a giant fire hose and bucket of water, and we see people with their hair on fire and they're not doing well. And we're like, hey, I've got a solution that could support you and ease some of your suffering. And so, of course, we want to help people, you know, and I think that's what's interesting about a lot of Bitcoiners is like, we're helpers, we're builders, we want to change the world because we do see the toxicity of the world on fire. And we want to use this bucket of, you know, beautiful water and help people ease their suffering.
Yeah, if we didn't want to do that, and if we were selfish people, we would just sit here in our corner trying to collect what we could and not trying to share it because we don't believe in how it can change everything and we would want to be greedy. But, you know, even though if you know that everyone tomorrow would go and understand Bitcoin and run up the price, you still want them to be part of that lifeboat. You don't want them to be sitting on the sidelines. Like you feel bad. You feel bad when you look around and you see people again with the cortisol levels and the fight or flight response that they're going through every day, staring at their phones, looking at the crazy things in the news. But it's all meant to be a distraction. So you don't think. I think if you're a depressed person or you're an anxious person and you have issues like that, it's you will be able to be controlled more because of the fear.
Totally.
You know, it's like once you break out of that, then you find the freedom. And it's definitely a control thing. I think spreading fear and thinking, well, you're powerless to all of this stuff, right? You can't do anything. You're stuck in this world and the way it is. And what you see is all you can do is be angry about it and argue with people about it because you think that your arguments are going to make you feel better. But it's like, all you're doing is just like, raising those stress hormones and causing yourself sickness. And it's just nice when you can actually get through to somebody. It makes you feel so good when they understand. And I think it gets easier to, as time goes on, the more the government does you know, creates more money in the system and creates more bigger national debt and, you know, more inflation and people see prices going up, it's easier to tell people about this and they're not fighting you as much on something like Bitcoin, where years ago would have been, they wouldn't be as open to it. So I think because of the chaos, it's causing more people to be open. But you can't, again, when you try to be that person who's explaining nonstop to people, if they're not ready or if they don't have that experience, like you said, where they've gone through something that's going to allow them to break out, they're not going to listen to you until something clicks for them. So you kind of like can't force people. You have to just be this this lighthouse for them. Like, I like that from Holly. I was talking to Holly Berkeley.
Yep. I love that. Yep. Instead of a life raft, you're a lighthouse. Lighthouse. Yeah.
I loved how she explained that, because you could be there. You could be doing what you're doing, sharing your ideas. And people come across that you're just helping kind of be a lighthouse and show people the way, but you can't go and grab people and bring them to you. You have to wait till they come for help and to see the light, you know? So, and I also really quick want to mention, I want you to get into the whole, the snapped, you know, like how you snap and things made sense for you, but how cool is it that you're close with Tomer Strelitz? Like, he's incredible. And, I didn't realize that. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, everybody. Tomer's my soul brother. Like, we're two stranger weirdos from another planet.
I'm right there with you. I feel like I'm happy to find more stranger weirdos, because that's why my community, when I first started it, I called it the Paranoid Bitcoin Anarchist, because it reminds me of that type of a feeling that people think you're insane, because, okay, we might look paranoid to normal people, that we're thinking, oh, we better get Bitcoin because these things are happening, but we're just seeing the truth, but you think we're paranoid. But so it's just kind of like a joke, you know? Yeah. So
It is. And it's like, you know, and you were saying earlier, just, you know, you can lead a person to truth, but you can't make them think. And it's just, to me, we have to act, whatever, all the analogies. You're a lighthouse. Great. People will find you. You're a buffet. Cool. Great. People will pick what they want, you know, kind of thing. And so it's like, you can't open somebody's mouth and make them put the food in it and chew it and swallow it. Like, you literally just have to be this like buffet of love and information that's welcoming, that's beautiful. And I think it's a very, very important thing. I know, like, Tomer and I started working on Satoshi the Cyber Opera. And so we started this a few years ago. And this was something that was based on an article that he wrote called The Legendary Treasure of Satoshi.
Yes, Nakamoto. I love that article.
Right. And so I was like, Tomer, let's make a cyber opera out of this. And he's like, what the hell is that? I'm like, I don't know, but let's do it. And, you know, because for me as a DJ and somebody who's, you know, done a lot of immersive performances with, you know, visuals and, you know, fire dancers, stilt walkers, whatever, you know, that was my past life before I was a mom. And I was like, well, what if we, instead of, because like most people are not coming to a Bitcoin conference. They're not. You know, there's like Bitcoiners that'll come, and there's like the Bitcoiners come to a Bitcoin conference, and then maybe some people in the second tier circle will show up because they're curious. But like the people way out here, they're not showing up at a Bitcoin conference ever, you know? And so I was like, well, what are they already doing? They're listening to music. They're going to festivals. They're going to shows. So I was like, well, what if we turned that article into a performance piece that was really cool and interactive and beautiful and had visuals? And so we ended up making this 12-part show, you know, three acts, 12 parts, you know. And so we wrote it. We took us 6 months to do this. And this was during ultra bear market when it was around, you know, 25,000. Bitcoin was way low. And we're trying to like get funding. And everyone's, of course, like, we're not funding this, you know, because it's a multi-million dollar show for sure. And we wanted to take it on tour. We wanted to bring it all over the world, because we thought like, well, what if we did this cyber opera that was sort of a cross between, you know, Mamma Mia meets Tommy the Rock Opera meets Cirque du Soleil meets Burning Man, you know? And so it was this really cool, ambitious thing. And we just realized like two things. We need a lot of money to make it the vision that we wanted, instead of just making it like, it's a high school musical and isn't this cute? We could have done that all day, but that's not, I would never do that. Second is having an anchor performer that's like a big name. I'm not a big name. I'm like nobody. And so it was like, we needed to have, but I mean, I am, no, for real, but like to make it commercially viable and to make it really like where we could charge money and have it in front of 10,000 people at festivals and stuff. Like you would need an anchor, one or two, at least, you know, performers to be like the backbone of it. And so we just shelved it. And so it's been on the shelf. It's not dead. It's just in a like holding pattern until it, life wants, until Satoshi wants life to get breathed into it again.
Yeah. So because I was going to say, where can I see it? You know, I know, see,
right? Like you would go. Right? And so it's because we want to make it this like really big visual extravaganza in addition to, of course, all the cool music and custom modern music, like DJ music, not just, you know, it's not going to be it's, you know, I use the word opera loosely because that's what Tommy, the rock opera was with The Who, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with that. And so, so I was like, wow, we could really, you know, mix and match all this cool stuff. But then really it's like, how are we educating people like what Bitcoin is? And then how do we have maybe random QR codes that show up on all the big visual screens where people are like getting Easter eggs and earning Bitcoin if they're paying attention, you know? So just a whole bunch of fun stuff. And it's like, oh, you need to download a wallet before you come to the show. And nice. Then that way we're going to send you sats. And then, oh, if you want to send sats to some, you know, so just how can we integrate Bitcoin into this Smart. Equation instead of just like, okay, I'm just a spectator.
Yeah.
It's like, how is it interactive with the audience? How do we interact? Yeah. Can we do live streaming, them. You know? And so
that's what you mean by cyber opera. You're doing these things where it's like visuals and QR codes, and you're just trying to bring that side of what Bitcoin is and teach them about it while they're watching a show and entertain.
Yeah. And like doing what they would already be doing, which is like, let's rock out and let's go see a show. And there's crazy psychedelic shit going on and cool music and people up on stage having sword fights. Like each scene had its own kind of like, you know, who's going to be on stage. And we had all these, you know, warriors up there battling the bad guys and the Kraken. And it was a love story. So it's like, it's a beautiful show.
Yeah. So. I'm like, come on, man. I want this to
make
happen.
It happen, Val and Tomer. Shit. Well, we might. I mean, I think we're going to be hitting a bull run here soon, hopefully. Yeah. I don't know. I'm always hopeful, but I don't know. I don't even know the prices of Bitcoin. I never look.
Yeah. But it seems like it's these cycles. So you feel like it's about time the way that things are going. But yeah, we're expecting it. It feels like it's on the cusp, you know, of this thing happening. So yeah, once there's more funding coming through, once this you know, there's more that you can do with it, you know, and the price rises, you have more people that are interested in investing or something like that. So
totally. And I think about like Noster. Are you on Noster?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know if we follow each. We need to make sure we follow each other on Noster. Uh-huh. But and I go on there enough. Like we're doing an Noster booth or Noster lounge with HRF in Vegas.
I'm going to be there. So.
Yay. Okay, good. Come to the Noster lounge. And
yes.
That Wednesday night, I'll be DJing, but we're doing a whole Noster event with Toonster, with Mike from Toonster. But like, what's also,
is it one of those after party things?
It's not the Bitcoin conference after parties because they have their main after. I'm DJing Tuesday night at Zook for
the Bitcoin. You gotta let me know.
Yeah, I'll give my little schedule and we'll all come and hang out together.
Please, yeah, because we have a bunch of people coming from the Bitcoin Army and we're all, you know, going to be messaging, getting together. So I want to give them some stuff like wherever we're going to be at, just to let them know so they can show up.
Totally.
So,
yeah, it's going to be super duper fun. But like you think about, so with the cyber opera, right. Or any of it, like we have Boostagram balls that they've been doing, you know, so like Mike from Toonster and the guys from Wave Lake and Phantom Power, they've been doing Boostagrams. Do you know what a Boostagram ball is? So we did one in Austin. They just did one recently. You know, do you know who Adam Curry is? So Adam Curry is the podfather. He's like the original podcaster from 20 years ago. He was an MTV VJ. I want to say 20. Maybe 15 years.
I always tell
my
husband that I don't know anything. I'm like, how do you guys know these things? He's like, they were viral when YouTube came. I'm like, I don't know the viral stuff. You got to share those with me.
But like Adam Curry was like an original MTV VJ.
Okay.
So he's like the OG of OGs with like, you know, and he has a bunch of companies that he started and he's a technologist. Adam's amazing, but he really started this podcasting 2.0 concept, which you can use RSS and you can send Bitcoin and, you know, get paid. Well, you can also do splits, which is pretty cool with podcasting 2.0. So you can also do that using Lightning. You can use Ellen Bits, you can use all these other things. So like, you know, if we wish to, when we're having a big event, which is what the Boostagram balls are. So let's say, you know, we've got whatever, it's speakers or it's, you know, artists or musicians, whatever. Like as the QR codes pop up on the screen, like in real time, let's say somebody sends 1,000 sats. Like if it's programmed so that like you and I are on stage at the same time, in real time, you and I could get like 50-50 splits. Just you program it ahead of time. And then the next act comes up. Oh, they've got a drummer and a guitar. Okay. So now we got to split it five ways. Okay. The next act that comes up. Oh, it's just the DJ and the lighting guy and the sound dude, and they want to donate to charity. So they're going to split it four ways. You can do that for any event, for any kind of content, anywhere in the world. So you can do it with people.
Dollars.
Say it again.
Try to do that with dollars.
Precisely. You know, oh, you got to get approved and hold on, we got to pay out and la, la, la. So it's like, that's what a Boostagram ball is. And so X-Frog and Davidos and, you know, the guys at Open Mic, Toonster, like Mike at Open Mic and Phantom Power, they're all working on like, how do we create this as like a turnkey thing so that if you're having a fundraiser, like I'm going to El Salvador in a couple of weeks to do a fundraiser for the House of Life, which is an orphanage that helps pregnant teen girls who've been human trafficked. And we're teaching them about Bitcoin, and we're going to help them with life skills, and we're doing a fundraiser. So we don't have the turnkey thing yet set up where we could do the Boostagram ball, but the goal is like we could broadcast this experience. I'm going to be DJing down there, and it's like, cool. If you're watching from Berlin, you can send some sats and it's going to go to the House of Life, or it's going to go to the girls in the House of Life individually into their own wallets. So all these cool things that you can do with Bitcoin that you can't do with fiat.
Yeah. And when you have other times in your life where you go shopping at Walgreens or something and they say, oh, would you like to donate to this charity? I'm like, how do I even know it's going there?
Precisely.
And, like, and I at least know this is going where it's going. You know, you have a wallet set up for that, you know, that thing. It's more truth-based. It's more, you actually know you're helping somebody. You know that somebody's not going in there and possibly taking whatever you're donating. Like, I just don't trust it. I feel bad. I'm like, oh, I would like to, but I just don't trust it. I don't know where it's going.
It's and that's like the transparency layer of Bitcoin is so cool, you know? And it's like, I mean, again, it's all communication because there's, I'm not going to say who it is, but we're dealing with somebody right now who is trying to do what seems to be something good, but there's a lot of speculation that they might be a scammer. And so there's been some questions of like, where's the money going that we've been donating to you? And, you know, this is just somebody in the Bitcoin world. And it's very easy to just go, here, this is where all the money's gone, you know, and it's a communications things too, because you can still be manipulated. Just because you're a Bitcoiner or just because you have Bitcoin doesn't make you an honest person with integrity. You know, it doesn't mean you're not an asshole. Like I'm still an asshole. I'm a Bitcoiner, but I still make mistakes and I raise my voice and I lose my temper and I cry and I have emotions. Just because I'm a Bitcoiner doesn't mean all of a sudden I'm holy.
Yeah. we're not God, you know, so
yeah, it's like, I know, right?
Nobody's perfect, right?
Nobody's perfect. But what's fun is like, you know, there are ways to create that transparency and that instant settlement. Instead of having to wait and go like, oh, you know, especially as musicians or artists, it's like, okay, great. So what's neat about value for value and Boostagram balls or any of it, right? You know who's sending you the money. Unless there's some anonymous thing that they're trying to hide who they are. For the most part, like I can see if somebody's zapping me. I can see if they're like zapping my podcast. I can see if they're zapping a song. And then guess what? Like, think about this as an artist, right? And I talk about this a lot with value for value. If you're a musician and you're making original content and you see that like Stacy keeps zapping this one song that's a breakup song, and it's like, oh man, she's listened to it 600 times and she's zapped me all this money. Guess what that's going to tell me? It's like Stacy just went through a breakup. I'm giving her a free ticket to my next show. Yeah. You know, and so I get to have a more one-on-one peer-to-peer relationship with my audience versus if you're just using Spotify or Apple Music or Amazon or whatever, you don't know who listened to your music.
Right.
They're not having an opportunity to tip you directly and say, hey, this is Stacey. Thanks for your song. And so it's creating a new opportunity to build your community and build your audience. And you put your money where your mouth is. It's not just likes. It's not just random, you know, play charts that you don't know how to interpret, like who is listening kind of thing. You don't get to know your audience. And
what
so,
platform is this from?
This is from any of it, from Nostr, from Wavelake.
Yeah, okay,
from, yeah. So anything that's Bitcoin related. So I'd say anything on Nostr, on Wavelake is obviously an app that you can listen to music. Zapstream, you can watch people do live streams and stuff and know who's like zapping you in real time.
That's
and
amazing.
So, and Toonster, of course, Toonster is the same thing. So Toonster is more music. Zapstream is more video, but it's still, you know, you're listening to content and being able to zap. So there's been nothing like this before. There's always that middleman.
Yes. You know, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. The gatekeeper that's holding you and your, you know, it's the barrier between you and your audience.
And barrier so that's between what I think, the audience, barrier between, you know, they want to take something for pretty much creating the barrier, you know? So it's like, well, you're the creator. They're, you know, they should be a tiny part of anything, but it allows for you to be able to interact directly and to see the transparency of who is your fan. And again, what they're, obviously you get to know them. They're not going to listen to that song that many times if they didn't go through a breakup, you know, you pretty much, it does get to, you know, get you to understand them and what they're going through and that they are a big fan in that way. So it's a way to connect with your audience. It's a way as a creator of being an artist, a musician, any kind of art, any kind of creation that you do, when you have these types of platforms, you are able to build real connections instead of just this, you know, gatekeeper, like you said.
Yeah, it's a slow revolution, you know, and like, you know, I had the privilege of interviewing Adam Curry and we did a Bitcoin for Podcasters Summit last year. And so I did a little fireside with him and, you know, cause to me, like, I still want to listen to Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder is not on Nostr. Stevie Wonder is not on Wavelake, you know, and the Grateful Dead or whatever my music is that I want to listen to. So it's like, I still use Spotify. It would be great if Spotify and Apple Music and all of the big, you know, conglomerates of these, you know, content providers could overlay a zap button on all of their content. Because number one, now you're helping your artist get monetized even further than your little tiny 0.00001 cent per play kind of thing that you're giving them, which is nothing. You know, and so it's like, eventually I pray and hope that could get integrated, because sometimes, you know, you see, oh, you can have our token and that you earn. Nobody wants your stupid tokens.
I think like, if they don't integrate it eventually, just more of these platforms that do it already are just going to become bigger and more popular because people will realize that it's meant for the community. It's meant for the industry to actually connect and benefit from it instead of having just somebody there like a big corporation or company. So either they have to incorporate this stuff or people will stop using probably these platforms over time.
It's hard to say. And I think, again, like we are on the outside of the bell curve right now as Bitcoiners and as content consumers, you know? And so it's like the main part of people who are consuming content are Netflix, Amazon, Spotify, you know, they're in that main, you know, Facebook, Instagram, they're TikTok, yeah. They're in the main, you know, 80% zone kind of thing. And so, you know, when I was talking with Adam, I was just like, you know, he's just like, there's so much good new music over here. And like, you know, the value verse, like, why would you go listen to this other stuff? And I'm like, cause the shit is good. I like my old music. I'm a deadhead, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm not listening to the dead, but mm-hmm. the dead should put this on their thing. So it's a tough, you know, even with Nostr, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I go on Primal almost every day and I get through some posts and it's like, there's no more posts.
Yeah.
There's not enough content for me to stay there and be sticky enough because we don't have enough user adoption yet. Doesn't mean we're not gonna, but we don't have enough, we haven't tipped over to the point where we're in that 80% zone, you know, into right. that user adoption. And so, so I think there's, we're still in the bridge time. And so, but we still need to like make a little bit more effort and put in our proof of work time to go find those new artists and to go find those new things so that we're not just, you know, in our default, what did you call it? Autopilot driving, you know, in the old stuff. So it takes a little time. And as Bitcoiners, I think we appreciate what it means to put in proof of work and what it means to like do a little bit more effort to go outside of our comfort zone and outside of our, you know, the normal operating systems.
Yeah. Once you realize that, you know, you found something that you didn't realize you were not afraid to go, like you are curious more, you want to check out more new things. You don't want to be stuck in some kind of like worldview where you think you know everything already. So you like to always explore.
Yeah.
The thing about, sorry, I'm having like a total brain fart about music, how you're a DJ and, you know, you're doing things for empowering these fundraisers, you know, the thing that you're doing in El Salvador, it's you're also going there, you're providing entertainment. You are spreading your joy through music. And then you're also finding ways to empower this industry. And I love how you think about music as being something that can like heal people too. So I love that about you. There's certain things that just make you feel energetic. You actually kind of raise your frequency, you know?
That's and right. That's my motto is raise your vibe, rock your mission. And so like we are vibrational energy matter, you know, like we're vibrational creatures, like every single thing is vibration. You talk with Tesla and if you want to look at, you know, how to understand the world, think in terms of, you know, vibration and frequency. And so if we remember that, I mean, that's just math. Again, it's physics, it's math. It's nothing. It doesn't, the same principles apply to you and I, you know, we're not different that way. And we may not get activated the same exact way by the same exact song. However, we do get activated, you know, and also we're mostly water. And so water gets activated by energy and vibrations, you know? And so it's very, when we start to hack ourselves and get to know ourselves, and like I said, with the 11X project, you know, get your MHD and know how you operate, like you have the much more power than allowing the rest of the world to code you and be in charge of your vibe, you know, and you can change your moments, you know, you can snap in, you know, so I started writing this book called Snap Goes the Mommy after shit hit the fan 9 years ago. And I was thinking, gosh, man, if you can snap out of it, can you snap back into it just as quickly? How does that work? You know? And so I really, really realized I need to start getting more in touch with, even though I'd done a lot of personal growth and spiritual stuff, it was like, obviously something didn't work because I snapped. I've lost my shit, you know, and almost died. And so, so I think it's super important to take time, especially before you become a mother, especially when you're a mother, especially if you're not a mother, it doesn't matter. Just like get to know yourself, because if you are not the one in charge of your code, someone else will be. And it's going to be your phone. It's going to be your church. It's going to be your mom. It's going to be the next door neighbor. It's going to be the guy who cut you off, you know?
Was it just a lot of stuff in your life coming together that just made you feel like you just had a breaking point?
Yep, totally. It was everything. Point? It was, you know, there's like a scale of stress factors in your life. You know, it's like your child dies is number one, you know, moving or your spouse dies. So it's like it rates what are the most intense things that you can go through, right? So I had a whole bunch of them that were up there. Thank God it wasn't a child die, but it was like, you know, I had to big move from Hawaii to Boulder. I was having pre-menopause stuff. My marriage was suffering, you know, I'm the new person in town. My thyroid's out of whack. My, you know, we're starting a new company together. Do we stay together as business partners or do we, you know, keep our marriage, you know, Alzheimer's with my stepmom, you know, just was not sleeping at all, you know? And so it was like, oh, you know, sexual reawakening in midlife, you know, all this shit was going on. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God. And so it was just one thing after the other. And I was just like, this is just a phase. I'll get over it. So I'm just like, I'm just going to drink some wine. Maybe some more. Okay, maybe I'll have some breakfast wine. It's not a great idea to have breakfast wine, I heard.
I heard something about
it's
that.
Not a thing. So it just turned into this like self-medicating downward spiral, thinking that it's going to be this temporary thing that
numb you until you're feeling better.
Totally. And I thought, like, because I've always gotten myself out of any of my funks in the past, I didn't get myself out of this one. It just kept going deeper and darker. My marriage was falling apart. All this, you know, instead of just being, you know, more humble. And I tried, we tried to do marriage counseling. We tried to do all this stuff, you know, and it wasn't clicking. It wasn't working. You know, God was just like, you guys need to break up. You know, it's like, and it was ugly, you know.
It's almost
like
the universe is trying to, like, when you're fighting all these things, it's like all these things are coming together to kind of tell you, you know, maybe you should move on. This is time for a change in your life, you know, but you're just trying to fight this thing and keep.
Yeah, it's that resistance to cling on to your familiar, you know, because you think you can fix it. You think, like, this is just a bump. Like, because we were married for 14 years, you know, and it was just like, I mean, there were a lot of extenuating circumstances that I'm not going to go into this minute, but there was some gnarly shit that happened with both of us. And it was just one of those, like, oh my God, are we going to get through? Are we going to be able to forgive each other for this? Are we, you know, and I've completely take accountability for my side of the equation. And he, you know, has his side of the equation. But when all was said and done, it was just like, oh my God, what the heck just happened? You know, I was a PTO president. I was the woman who was just like, yay, let's make my kids' lives great. And I'm going to be the entrepreneur with the fund and the DJ and the wife that was, you know, this dutiful wife. How the heck could this happen to someone like me? And it was so humbling, you know, and I ended up going to rehab after a suicide attempt. And it was just like, oh my gosh, all of you people have gone through this stuff. You're a teacher, you're a doctor, you're a hairstylist, you're a billionaire, you're a student, and everybody had this trauma layer that was driving them and they didn't know it, you know? And so it was just like, they have all these different coping mechanisms, whether it was being a sex addict, a food addict, alcohol, drugs, you know, gambling, like all of these things that were just simple self-medicating coping mechanisms that were layered on top of this trauma, you know? And so it was like, because I always used to think, Stacey, in my younger, more arrogant years and stupid years, like, depression's not real. Anxiety's not real. Just get over it.
Right.
Just get over it. Why do you need to be depressed? Just put on some good songs and you'll be fine. Or, hey, don't worry. Everything's cool. You know? And so I got my ass handed to me realizing, like, wow, all of these things can affect your chemicals and your energy. And it can lead to this toilet bowl downward spiral thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's why probably back then when you feel like you don't have this, that when you feel like it is this arrogance, because you think like, oh, whatever, everyone has shit that goes on in their life and they, you know, just keep trying to be happy, move on, you know, but it's like, it feels like you have this humbling experience. Like, you're like, okay, now I know that maybe the things I thought about other people, that why don't you just get over it? Now that you're meeting more people through support groups and trying to recover, you see that a lot of people go through things and now you're understanding it. So it's actually, yes, it's humbling. It's definitely eye-opening.
It is. And it gets the compassion and empathy muscles activated, because you think like, and there's a lot. I mean, when people are going through stuff like this, people don't send you flowers in rehab. They'll send you flowers if you break your leg at the hospital. You know, they'll send you flowers if you had a heart attack. They'll send you flowers if you had, you know, a broken arm surgery or something. Nobody sends you flowers in rehab. There's this weird shame or stigma around mental health and versus your physical health kind of thing.
Even though you're going there to get the help and you should be, people should be honoring and proud of you and supporting you for actually doing it and saying, totally. Okay, I'm going to change my life now. But it's like, they're not like, yay, you're doing, you know, like, just like how when you start something new, you should be supportive and show them like, we're there for you. But yeah, people are just like, ooh, I better back off. This person's lost it, you know, or something like that, you know?
Exactly. And I think, you know, speaking with some people afterwards, it was like, why didn't you, you know, visit me, or why didn't you send me a card or something, you know? There's a contagion fear. And then we were talking earlier about the five people you spend the most time with. And so mentally people are like, whoa, if I'm around that person who like had a mental breakdown, or, you know, this thing that fell apart, what happened? What if I get it too? Like, I'm going to stay away from them instead of leaning in and because it's scary. Like, mental health is a very, very tender, scary place to go. And most of us, you know, are in that autopilot zone. And so taking time to get in touch with your operating system is not something most of us do. It's not something that we're taught in school. It's not something that we're taught pre-marriage. It's not something that we're taught to, like, you know, you go to yoga. Okay, I'm going to meditate. Great. I'm going to pray a little bit. Okay, cool. Awesome. But you're truly not dissecting your operating system and making sure that you're doing the things that need to happen for you and you only you to be this highest functioning version of yourself. You and know so what I we think just go through autopilot our whole lives.
Yeah. And what I think about that is it's interesting because when you're around the fiat world and you're around people, when you're going through something and you're around people who are also just on autopilot trying to get through the day and they feel, even though they sometimes put on this act like their life is great, they could be going through all sorts of things that you don't realize because they are also stressed out. They have no hope. They're worried about the future. They have no time. They're working a lot, you know.
That's right.
So people are just drained all around. Mm-hmm. And I think when they see someone else going through something, yes, it's this negativity they don't want to be like attracting more of, but they're also just like running on fumes with no hope. And I think that when you get to a point in your life, like I've experienced now with this community, finding actual friends who I plan on meeting up in Vegas, going to the Bitcoin conference. And whenever we post something about, like, even through messages or through a post on X, if somebody's saying something, you're like, oh, this person, they're a Bitcoiner. They understand, they have hope for the future, but something happened in their life where people were not very kind or something happened and you support them because you care about this person. And it's like this, it's like more people have time to care in this world. You know, where in the other world, nobody has time to care about anybody else because they're all just barely getting by. You know?
Yeah. I always use this like metaphor or analogy of like, most people are like, here's the ocean and it's waves smacking you in the face and you've just got your nose right above so you can breathe barely. And I think that's the fiat system in general, right? You've got to work two jobs, you know, the mom has to be out of the house working, whatever. So there's all this stress and tension. And so the idea of going and doing self-inquiry and trying to do self-work or, you know, charity work or anything is ridiculous because, like you said, you're running on fumes and you're barely getting by with the wave smashing you in the face. And so it's by design. That's why people don't rise up enough. And I think that's why we're seeing these snaps where people are losing their shit and protesting or dropping, you know, firebombs on car dealerships because, you know, and so they're just so misinformed and they have so much tension and anger. And again, the cortisol and the adrenaline and all of the things that are inside that are inhibiting their logical thinking. You know, your executive function is not working when those things are activated. So they're not making clear decisions. They're snapping. There's violence. There's all these things that are like, uh-oh, I didn't mean to do that. And again, I'm not perfect.
Behavior.
Yeah. Like, and it happens. And we're in, and so we are in a collective soup of that. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to go live up in my little mountain house and unplug. You're still in the network of humanity, and humanity is suffering right now. And we all feel it. You know, we all feel this heaviness and this weight. And again, Bitcoin does give a sense of hope for the future. When a mammal is threatened, its job is to protect itself for survival, you know? And so when a human feels threatened and it feels powerless and hopeless, you know, it's going to do whatever it needs to do to live. And sometimes that is violence. Sometimes that is like attacking somebody. Sometimes that's just like, ah, losing your shit and running away, whatever it might be. And so until we can figure out how to downregulate those heightened feelings, like, we're still going to see this.
I think until people take the time, until they realize they can self-reflect, like you're saying, they don't want to take a look at their own life and then they snap. It's if they don't find a way to take the time to actually try to fix the problem and they keep sticking on autopilot, they will continue to snap and they will continue to wait. But then those snaps in turn, when people do have these moments, that's what turns them into having an awakening. Because sometimes you need to snap in order to, so it could be like this crazy angry behavior, but then your life, it just takes this turn because maybe you are in this aggressive state that's super angry and upset and negative, that your life starts to fall apart. And then when your life falls apart, then you kind of can rebuild it and then realize, actually take a look at yourself then.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't take something to wake you up, maybe you won't wake up. Maybe you'll just continue being on autopilot.
It's true. Well, and that goes twofold, right? We think about Bitcoin as an example. You have to be the lighthouse. People will come to you when they're ready. You can't just go bring it to them sometimes. You know, it's like something, a lot of times there has to be a pain point that's so uncomfortable that they're like, oh gosh, the inflation thing or the human rights thing or whatever it is that their pain point is, they have to experience that for themselves before they can wake up to what Bitcoin really is and what it means. Same thing for a personal growth thing, right? It's just like for me, I was kicking the can down the road thinking like, I got this, I'm going to be fine. This is just a phase. I don't have time to go do all this other unpacking. I'm a full-time mom. I'm working on this new company, la, la, la. I don't have time, you know? And it's just like, and I don't want to get like brought down. So I'm just going to hold it together, you know, with my duct tape and everything and do my breathing here. And I'm above water. This is fine. You know, that little thing with the fire, right? and so you, sometimes it's like, it's the gift. The breakdown is the gift. You know, you don't want it. It's not like, yay, bring me another one, please. it sucks. They're awful and disruptive. But sometimes, you know, when I work with clients, it's like, I look again at the bell curve. It's kind of like that beginning ramp up stage to a snap is like, it's hard to talk with people and work with them in that phase. They're not receptive. Like you have to have pain before you're willing to make a change sometimes. Some people are really good at it. They're just like, I know how to do maintenance and da, da, da. They're not normal. Like they're outside of the bell curve. Like us people in this bell curve, like we sometimes have to have that shitty thing happen for us to really go, okay,
because it's the people that are afraid of, like, some people I think when they are able to adapt to change, even when terrible things go on, they're like, all right, I'm maintaining, I'm going, I'm figuring this out. But some people, when you are a creature of comfort and you love your consistency and you don't want change in your life, but life is all change, you know, it's always changing. So when you're resisting that your whole life and you're trying so much to keep things the way they've been, but life is trying to tell you that it's switching up and, you know, you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
I think then the more you resist it and the more you fight it, then you're just being disillusioned. Like you're living like you're trying to put a filter on what's really happening and trying to see it from your lens and just pretending like it is what it is, but it's really just changing and you're trying to avoid it, you know? And I think that eventually it hits you.
It does. And I wrote an article called The Bitcoiner's Dilemma a couple of years ago, and it talks about the three different areas, but like we do resist that change. And I use the metaphor of a butterfly, you know, like sometimes you have to go in that goo, the goo stage, you know, before you can spread your wings and go be a whole new thing. But like, it's that, I mean, you literally turn into a puddle of goo in the chrysalis. You're not just like, oh, I'm a caterpillar and look, I have some wings that are coming out of my back. Uh-uh. Like you literally have to dissolve who you are in order to become this new version of yourself. And so, you know, whether it's with relationships, with worldview, with self, it's very disorienting and destabilizing mentally. And so change is like, our brains are wired for consistency. They don't want change. Because the brains want us to conserve energy. And so when there's change and we have to develop new neural pathways, that creates an energy expenditure. The brain's like, don't do that. Do this. This is better. That's your default mode network, your autopilot, you know? And so it's very important that when we realize we're trying to change, like it takes time. It's not going to happen. overnight just because you're like, yay, I had an epiphany. Isn't this great? It takes some time. So be patient and love yourself.
It's also important when you go to a support group, when you go to rehab, when you find other people who have gone through what you've gone through, when you find a Bitcoin community, when you understand the truth about money and slavery that the system is, and other people don't understand it. I think you need some sort of support system that is a community that you're not finding in your real life community around you. You need to go and find those communities of support. You know, it's not always, I think people are just so stuck on the idea of just going to a therapist when they have an issue. It's like, okay, you're going to talk to this one person every time about your problems. Are you actually getting better? Right. You know, I don't think a lot of people personally, I've heard of people, but I don't know too many people that actually see a lot of growth from doing that. But I think a community is a bigger version of that, like a better version of just one person that you talk to and get help with. And to see people going through the same stuff or realizing the same stuff as you are realizing, and it helps, it just helps having support.
It does. And it's, again, like a lot of people who are, you know, entrepreneurs, who are leaders, you know, they're not used to asking for help from other people. They're used to being in charge. And so it takes a dose of humble humility, you know, humble pie, to admit like those three words, like, I need help. And as somebody who's the helper and wanting to fix everything else all the time, when you're the one who needs help, it's like, oh no. So that was it for me personally. That was a huge, huge obstacle to go overcome. I still battle with it sometimes, you know, but I'm better, you know, and as I keep growing, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm much more humble and saying like, I can't do this by myself. I need to talk to somebody. I need somebody to hug me. I need whatever, you know? And, but still sometimes I'm like, I got this. I'm fine. I'll just hug my dog. I'm cool. It's like, no, dude, go out and be with a human, you know? But like, it's a big thing, especially for men more than women, men more than women, like women will talk, we'll get with each other. And so I feel a lot of empathy for men who are executives and leaders who are just like, nobody can know that I'm having this conversation with you, Valerie. I'm like, it's okay. Don't worry. Nobody will know. But it's like, there's that, you know, they think they have to live up to a certain identity in order to still be powerful and in control. And it's just like, let me clue you in on something, humans. Like, I don't care if you're a billionaire. I don't care if you're, you know, a teacher. I don't care if you're a waitress. I don't, whatever. We all suffer from the same stuff. Nobody is immune from this. Nobody. And so that should give us comfort and not feel scared to ask for help and be vulnerable. Oh, and to me, being vulnerable is one of the strongest things we can do. But we're not taught that, especially if you look at social media right now. Look, I have a Ferrari and I have no wrinkles and my boobs are up to here and, you know, la, 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 you know, and I have Gucci everything. It's like, yeah, that's not reality, you know? And so it's just kind of like, we have to remember that what we're seeing out there is false,
yes,
you know, and not to hold ourselves in comparison with that. Because it's not,
yeah, real. Those ideals, it's like the things you see that make a lot of people think that those are the things that you should strive for, and those are the things that are important in life, are not what's truly important. But it makes people believe that they should also reach for those things, or that's what they should value, which is wrong. You know, it's just a terrible way to actually make people believe that, and young people, you know, to believe that. But I think that a lot of young people, the good thing is I think they see so much fake stuff on the internet that these new generations are, they appreciate truth more, and they appreciate, they could sense real people, like actual real content. I think they could sniff out the fake ones a lot quicker. Yeah. So I just hope that the new generations are just real people, real situations, you know, real personalities, and they're not getting duped by a bunch of fake wannabes and, you know, people that are boastful and stuff that's not important. I appreciate you sharing your story, first of all, because it takes a lot of bravery to talk about things you've been through. But it also helps people. When you tell people about your hardships and things that you went through that actually made it snap for you, maybe it will show people who maybe come across this video that maybe you haven't opened your eyes to the idea of hope yet, because
Yeah.
You haven't had one of those moments, or you're trying to ignore those moments that are coming up in your life where you actually just have to face them head on and drop your ego and actually realize what's going on in the world instead of what you're told is going on in the world, and to find this truth. And we do want to open their eyes to it. We want to show them the hope that there is out there. And even though you can go through the things that you've gone through, look where you're at now. You know, you're trying to create the cyber opera, cyber Bitcoin. What is it called? Cyber Bitcoin opera?
Satoshi the cyber opera. Let's go.
Satoshi the cyber opera. I cannot wait for that. Oh my God. I'm like, now that you told me, I'm such a, again, with my, I try to be more patient as I've gotten older, but I am very impulsive myself, and I'm very much like, let's do it now. So I'm definitely going to be looking forward to that. So I hope you do it soon. But yes,
I do too. We'll revisit it and take it off the shelf. I think, you know.
Yeah. That would be so incredible. But so to see that you're doing these things now, you're doing, you know, whatever you're doing in Vegas. I can't wait to see you in Vegas. I can't wait to definitely let us know where you're going to be, because we're going to show up and it's going to be awesome. And who would have thought, like, in a couple months, how much your life can change, where we're connected. We're going to Vegas. A bunch of us are. We are going to be seeing each other in real life. You know, people that actually bring you up and uplift you. And, you know, we're going to just have fun getting to know each other. I thought when I first decided to go to Vegas with my husband, we thought we were just going to show up there and just be the two of us just hanging out together, going to dinner and seeing the conference. But now we're going to have friends, you know, so it is really fun. And we're going to party with you too. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. And we're going to do, okay, so my call in 8 minutes is with Natalie, and we're talking about the women's brunch. So we're putting, you know, she always hosts the women's brunch and I volunteer and
Natalie
help her.
Natalie Brunell?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shut it.
Yeah, go Nat.
She's going to, because I'm talking to her Wednesday.
Good. So she's the bomb. And so I'm sure she's going to promote the women's brunch. She's amazing, of course, as you know. We're having our little planning meeting. And so you have to come to the women's brunch. It'll be Tuesday on Industry Day. And so we'll, you know, as soon as we get, you know, we're going to finalize everything in the next few days and see what's up and start promoting it.
No, let me know. Yeah, for sure. I need to find out about that. Yes, I'll share it with all the ladies too. So
yeah, it'll be great.
But yeah, whatever. If you're, whoever's invited to come, I don't know how it works, you know, so
I'm not going to. It's open to all the women and all the women that are coming for sure. So this is going to be the biggest one. It's going to be 500 people. The one we did in Nashville, I think we had 250, and the one in Miami, we had 250, and then the first one I got to go to, which was when I got to meet her, was like just at a restaurant. It was like 100 people. So
it's growing each year.
Yeah, it's so great. And so it's such a nice thing to do at the beginning of the conferences too, because I didn't know anybody. It was my first Bitcoin conference, like, you know, 3-4 years ago. And I was like, I don't know anybody. And now I have all these lifelong friends because of the brunch that Natalie did. So I was like, I want to volunteer and help you all the time. Yeah, it's great. So it's super duper cool. Tuesday night will be at Zook. Wednesday night's going to be at We Scream. I think it's called We All Scream for the Noster after party. And I'll be DJing there. I'm doing the Bitcoin for Human Trafficking Survivors on Thursday at 11. And then I'll be in and out of the Noster booth all week. And then obviously the Women's Brunch on Tuesday. So lots of fun. And I can't wait to meet you and see you there in person. Yeah.
And have fun planning. I'm so glad you guys are setting that up. That's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great. And yeah, on May 9th down in El Salvador, we're doing a fundraiser for the House of Life for the girls who have been trafficked. And so our goal is to, you know, get a Bitcoin treasury for the orphanage, and then also, of course, help with their operating expenses. So I'll send you some links on that. We're going to be having a meeting again. I have a meeting today and tomorrow to finalize those events.
And you're going to be live streaming that, right?
Yes, we will live stream it. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So that'll be fun. So we'll be doing it. It won't be as the same as a Boostergram ball. It'll just be live streaming, like on Zapstream. So people can make donations if they wish to. So it'll be great.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah.
And it was so great to get to know you.
You too. I can't wait to keep getting to know you and keep rocking. I love the work you're doing, and I love how you're bringing everyone together, and you started your podcast. Like, go sister. Woo-hoo.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anything I can do to help promote and support what you're up to. Obviously, you know, I'm not as big as Natalie or anybody, but I'm small potatoes, but I'll help get the word out. You know,
that's what we need. As long as people are enjoying it, it helps boost the algorithm on YouTube to get the content out. So thank you so much for everything.
Yeah, totally. And you guys can go you know, go to my website at djvaleriebelove.com/subscribe. And you can see all the little, you know, I've got little love experiments. I've got the course that's coming out. Obviously I'll be putting all my fundraisers and events and stuff like that up there. So sign up, and the newsletter for Manifest with Love is there. So check it out.
I'm gonna sign up too. And I'm going to put all your links in the video. So just whatever I can add there so people could find you and see what you're up to.
Awesome. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you.
And never give up. Number one, don't give up. Keep rocking. It's going to be a rough ride for a little bit, but we're going to get through it together.
Yes. All right. Take care. Have a great day.
All right. Aloha. Thanks, Stacey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.